Ladies and gentlemen, this is your featured podcast of the evening. It's time for United by Wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into a brand new episode of United by Wrestling. I am the co-host, the signature one, the Shipesta, and I turn it over to host Dustin. And get that damn cringe look off your face.
Why do you call yourself the signature one if anybody's asking? Because I'm sure people have noticed in the last few episodes you've adopted that nickname.
Well, quick, long story short, because we got a thrilling pay-per-view to talk about. Long story short, the signature one was part of my aspiring wrestler gimmick character. I was going to be, my wrestler name was going to be Ace Johnson, and my like tagline was going to be the signature one. Since I can't do that, I decided to adopt it here on United by Wrestling.
All right, and as you all know, I'm your host, Dustin Struction, and we have our co-host. As he's a co-host, as long as you're not too hard on him or he'll quit, Dave.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, it's Jesse Hernandez's birthday today, so I figured I'd pull that out on Dave.
So,
don't be too hard on this show, bro, or Dave might quit. So,
I say people better not leave the hurtful comments to Dave or he'll quit.
So just to show a question, before we cover SummerSlam, from a last episode, are you guys feeling purified at all? Because we ended the last episode doing the purification song. Did that
purify you? Irritated, actually.
Irritated?
I can't really say that I feel purified. However, I can say that I still wake up with ringing in my ears and severe ear pain.
I wonder if Francis ever got laid from that mating call.
I don't think so.
I did see some seals in John Cena, so maybe it's working. I don't know.
Well, if you want to know what we're talking about, this is a perfect segue into saying that check out our last episode with Francis Wright, professional wrestler, formerly Frantic. It's definitely one you don't want to miss and a different side you saw of us. Because it'll probably be a lot more entertaining than you're about to listen to now.
Damn. Bury it before it even starts.
Well.
So, alright. All Out is next week, so we are going to do a review show on that, so that's our next plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really trying to stall because I'm really not looking forward to talking about SummerSlam, but here goes nothing.
Oh, it wasn't that bad.
So
wasn't that good either.
What was your guys' overall thoughts? This is the first pay-per-view in the Amway Center and the Thunderdome. So we'll start with, what are your guys' impressions of the Thunderdome so far? Because I didn't watch TakeOver SmackDown, so this was my first time seeing the Thunderdome. Shipe, you go ahead first. What's your impressions of the Thunderdome?
I mean, I think that, honestly, like, truth be told, it actually does help. I think with the virtual audience and some of the noise that they add in has definitely helped. And I think that it has helped a lot of the wrestlers too, because it gives them something to act towards. And
I know Drew McIntyre came out today and said it's kind of a breath of fresh air for all the guys in the back.
Yeah,
it feels like a regular show again.
I mean, they have faces, and I mean, they might not be there, but they have faces that they can, act to and pander towards and do their, perform their characters towards. And I think with the added noise, that helps a lot. But, I mean, there are, of course, as we've seen, downsides to the virtual crowds.
In a minute.
We'll definitely touch on that in a minute. But I mean, I think overall, I think it's helped because I've watched SmackDown. I didn't get a chance to see TakeOver, but of course watched SummerSlam and about an hour and a half of Raw the other night or last night. So
that's good for you.
Yeah, that's good.
You should get a sticker for that.
Put it right here on the above, over the Under Armour logo on my shirt. But it's just like I think overall it's helped. It hasn't helped the product at all, but it's helped the, what's the word I'm looking for, the experience. I guess is the proper, the viewing experience is definitely helped from the PC to the Amway Center.
All right, Dave, what are your thoughts on the Thunderdome?
For the most part, I like the concept. They just need to work on a few tweaks with all of the...
We'll get to that in a minute. Just your overall experiences of the positive. Is there positives? Do you think there's any positivity to the Thunderdome?
Yeah, there actually is quite a lot. It looks like the superstars are enjoying it. It's not as boring as nobody being there. So it's kind of bringing that vibe to it, at least. So, yeah, the Thunderdome is actually a decent thing from Vince.
Yeah, it's just kind of weird. You know, I think it's good. You know, it gives you a bit of a headache, and it does distract you from the ring action a little bit. But yeah. I do echo the sentiment. I think the wrestlers enjoy it. Like, Drew came out today and said, you know, how much it feels like it's made a difference. And the only thing about that, here's the downside. First off, it's so weird. I don't know if that's Kevin Dunn talking to Mike, but having a guy tell you who to cheer for,
yeah,
and who to not cheer for, and when to boo and when to clap, that's yeah. not wrestling.
No.
You know, that's micromanaging, and I get why they're doing it, but it's weird because, you know, obviously crowds, you know, do what they want, and unfortunately, this is the biggest downside is there's people doing what they want and taking advantage of it.
Yep.
You know, thousands of cameras being on at the same time, and it's hard to manage them, and that's what you get with a Ku Klux Klan.
Well, did you catch the one at the end of Raw?
No, what was the one? Someone killing somebody.
Yeah, somebody flashed up an ISIS execution live on camera. I mean, it wasn't live, it was a video, but still, you know what I mean. Somebody flashed that up there, and it's like, it started out as, like, Pikachus and Marios and teddy bears, and now it's KKK and ISIS executions. Like, it's become this one upsmanship of trolls. And apparently
Chris Benoit came back from the dead, was in the crowd this
year. Yeah, it's like, I know WWE has this security set up for this, but, I mean, they really got to get on the ball with it because, like I said, the next thing that's going to happen, I guarantee, the next thing that's going to happen is you're going to get nudity.
Yeah.
Like, I guarantee you.
Well, this is the thing. Yeah, they're banning those people, but people take pride in getting banned or blocked because it gets them noticed.
Right.
So people, you know, it's going to, like you mentioned, it's going to keep a one-upsmanship, which ruins it for all the fans that are actually enjoying themselves.
Yeah, it's like you're going to have people go through different accounts and crap and keep coming back. And it's like, I don't know if WWE is going to IP ban these guys or not, but... It's this one upsmanship that is going to ruin it because eventually I think the Amway Center is going to step in and be like, dude, what are you doing?
Or USA or SmackDown
or USA or the FCC themselves. Yeah. Like the
you can't have murder happening on TV
or racist imagery or any of that. So the only thing that WWE needs to work on with the Thunderdome right now is the issues with the cameras.
It's just so weird, though. Like, you can't eat on it.
No.
You can't drink on it. I'm sure some of the drinking stuff is because of sponsorship problems. You pull a Budweiser out, you know, that's false advertising on Raw. They're not sponsored.
Well, and
so
it is under...
Budweiser's going to have royalties for that.
Well, and it's also under FCC regulation that you cannot drink on live TV.
You can't even have a soda or anything for my hair.
Oh, wow. That's even more ridiculous.
It's like some sponsorship thing. I mean, but, you know, if I threw a can of Dr. Pepper on there, technically that's broadcasting Dr. Pepper in front of millions of people.
I mean,
so maybe Dr. Pepper want royalties? That's
the only thing. Is there like a cost to get into those virtuals?
No.
It's free?
Kenny for your thought shout out was saying, yeah, it's free to get in there. You just sign up and they pick at random.
Well,
that's the problem.
That's
why we're getting some of these people in there.
Yeah, that's, I think, honestly, and it might be an unpopular opinion, but maybe put a little money behind it. Then,
I think that eventually, and I heard a rumor that it might just go back, they might just let the super fans on. Lesnar guy, you know, all those guys, because, well, you know, Vince knows those guys. He knows Lesnar guy, John Glick, you know, I think, what's his name? White Tux guy. And they're not going to
Superman
throw, you know,
and all those guys. It's like, I mean, honestly, that might also be another unpopular opinion, but if that's what you got to do it.
Yeah. People are going to ruin it. It sucks. People are going to ruin the privilege for it. You know, unfortunately, I'm surprised we haven't seen any AEW shirts on there yet.
I'm sure they'll get there.
Oh, somebody flashed up on Raw. Somebody flashed up a MJF 2020 picture.
And the Fire Velveteen Dream one, and then there's a GCW wrestling logo up there.
That's nice. I mean, I'll give him that one.
Vince probably didn't even know who they are. So
probably he probably doesn't. He probably had to Google that.
It's like, who the hell is GCW?
Ah, some pissant company. I'll buy them next week.
Well, it must be working, and you know, as much as you know, we're going to talk SummerSlam now, not Raw, but SummerSlam must have had some kind of effect, though, because Raw popped one of its highest ratings and 2.7 mil, I saw, or something like that.
I think a lot of that had to do in part with, I don't know if people, because I don't know if people remember what show Roman was on. Maybe they were watching for him, or I mean, I think Keith Lee might have had an impact on that.
But
also the Thunderdome itself, I guess.
Yeah, the fan element might be bringing some people slowly back,
or people are just watching to see what crazy shit pops up on camera next.
All right, so let's transition to SummerSlam itself. What were your overall thoughts on the show before we get to the matches?
How can I word this? Let's see. It wasn't good, but it wasn't god-awful. I'm going to put it somewhere in the realm of probably about mid-tier average.
So like a C?
Probably like, I'd say probably like a C-.
Dave?
You know, I tend to agree with Alan. It wasn't good, but it wasn't a shit stain either. I'm going to be a little nicer. I'm going to give it like a C just for the ending.
Oh, so much nicer.
It's not exactly that much nicer.
So, what did you guys like or not like?
Well, as far as what I didn't like, the biggest thing that I didn't like was pretty much half the match finishes. Half of them, especially in as we'll get onto here in a little bit, the bigger matches. I thought some of the endings for those matches were just the complete shit stain of an ending that in a match of those caliber that you could have had.
Dude, especially so a lot at of matches SummerSlam. Were good in ring product wise, but the finishes ruined it. I feel like for quite a few of them.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, you have big time matches ending the way that they did. I mean, that's completely ridiculous.
Dave, what'd you like or not like?
What I didn't like is it didn't feel like a traditional SummerSlam to me. Going in, I didn't feel like, oh, this is gonna be the biggest party of the summer. Felt more like it's gonna be a mild summer, but not like your normal SummerSlam, here we go, let's get revved up, more like okay.
I'm probably going to get blasted for this, but SummerSlam is supposed to be the second biggest. I mean, some people argue Royal Rumble, but it's for sure the biggest pay-per-view outside of the Road to WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt like the Elimination Chamber to WrestleMania. It felt like SummerSlam was just lead up to Payback next week. Like,
yeah.
And that's part of the problem. Like, why is there a pay-per-view 1 week after SummerSlam?
That they have had literally, that they're going to have even less time than they usually do.
And that's probably why you got all these shitty endings, is because they have to find a way to build up a pay-per-view that's next week.
But hell, even that doesn't make any sense, because one person involved in one of the shitty endings isn't even having a rematch with his opponent from SummerSlam.
Yes. Say, SummerSlam is the second biggest. It's supposed to be your good moments are done, or, you know, feuds that culminated at other pay-per-views. That's the problem with the SummerSlam, I feel like, nowadays, is there's not much build-up.
No.
Usually there's several high-profile storylines going into...
Yeah, because...
You know, all I can think of is, what, Drew and Randy?
Yeah.
And I guess Braun and The Fiend? Other than that, like, the undercard or nothing really had any build-up that I thought was great to it.
No. I mean, and that sucks that over the years, SummerSlam has become what it is, because it is one of the big four of the year. And it doesn't even, I think since 2013, it hasn't felt like that.
Yeah.
It's just weird. That I think that having a pay-per-view a week after SummerSlam is one of the worst things they could ever do.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why it's so soon. I don't know what the thought process behind that is. But, all right, without further ado, let's get to the matches. So, I don't watch the kickoff shows. I mean, MVP versus Bobby Lashley was on the kickoff. I mean, Not Cruz versus MVP.
I was like, damn, I mean, the Hurt Business imploded already.
Damn, that didn't last long.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah, that was it. But yeah, speaking of the pre-show, there is one thing that we gotta give a big thank you to Renee Young, since the kickoff show was her, or SummerSlam was her departure from WWE. So we got
a bump today.
Yeah, even though she was on the bump, or tomorrow, I think she's on the
officially
bump
last day on her WWE contract. Yeah. Now she's like her own contractor, I guess is the best way to put it.
But you know what's funny though about that? Before we get into it, she has a non-compete. I didn't know that.
She's not gonna wrestle.
I know exactly, but I don't know why she's got one, but she does.
It probably just puts on all. I mean, people think she's going to AEW. And I don't see that.
I don't either.
Mox is there, but.
But yeah, on the pre-show, that's the biggest thing. We want to say a thank you to Renee Young.
Good luck to Renee Young and all her future endeavors, and hopefully she gets where she wants to go with her journalism broadcasting career. I get advised that she'll probably be a Fox or ESPN on one of their sport networks.
Yeah.
Kind of like what Charlie Caruso's doing right now.
Right, right.
She'll probably be more full-time because Charlie bounces back and forth, obviously. But so good luck. I really don't think she's going to AEW like everyone thinks she is. But even if that is, you know, her choice, and hopefully she does good there and we'll see her in AEW. I doubt it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the only comparison is, oh, yeah, Mox is there. But she's too talented to be in it. I don't know. She doesn't fit the wrestling, I feel like, as much as she would fit other places.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think wrestling could fit her expertise as much. So, you know, once again, good luck to Renee and everything else. So, the start of SummerSlam, we have the SmackDown Women's Champion, the first of two title matches for Asuka, Bayley versus Asuka. Did you have any thoughts about this match, Dave? I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed the match, surprisingly. Bayley and Asuka kind of have a good chemistry. What I enjoyed most about the match was the ending portion, of where Sasha came in and kind of helped Bayley retain, which would then lead to, well, later on in the evening with the second title defense between Sasha and Asuka.
How about you, Shite? What were your thoughts on the match?
I mean, the match in ring was good, as you would expect, but can somebody please explain to me why they had to have Asuka face both of them? Is that a...
Set up the feud for Sasha versus Bayley?
Yeah,
but they couldn't have also done that a different way. I mean, that's just my opinion. But I mean, the in ring match
one best friend cost the other gold. I guess that's the best way
I get it, but it's just weird.
That makes Sasha like 1-6 in title defenses. But we'll get to that match later.
But no, I mean, the in ring match was good, and I like that they're. It looks like that they're finally starting to pull the trigger on the eventual breakup of Sasha and Bayley.
Took them long enough.
But
I mean, two botches already.
But
Apollo freaking.
Hey, that was you. That wasn't me. You calling Bayley Becky.
Oh, my gosh.
But no, I mean, I think that should honestly be a match that should happen when, like, the events come back at a bigger scale. Because unfortunately, we're probably going to get that match later on. But the match was good. Itself,
good ring work. That you know, nothing really that you would expect differently from Euros too. I mean, the setup. You know, once again, a weird finish. Like Asuka had the Asuka lock or whatever, and Sasha got on the
ring apron or like in the between the ropes or some shit.
Asuka bumped her off, and Bayley rolled her up. Wasn't that kind of the extent of the finish?
Yeah, that was the finish.
So. Yeah, I think that match, honestly, was just set up for... I feel like the higher prioritized match was Sasha versus Asuka, because there's more storytelling in that.
Yeah.
I think this match was just kind of to set the tone. I mean, Sasha came in and beat down Asuka after it. But, alright, on to the next. Are you guys... And speaking of that, are you guys, like, Bayley's on, what, 317 days?
Yeah.
18 days as champion. Are you guys enjoying her title reign still, or do you think it's a little dry?
I actually happen to still be enjoying. I enjoy her reign, and I also enjoy her work with Sasha. I don't think it's. I thought it was getting stale there for a little bit, but I think in recent weeks it's kind of picked up a little bit, become a little bit more enjoyable.
Yeah, because they're finally getting the tease of the match between the two.
So it's like, I mean, as of right now, I'm still enjoying it, even though it's been a long time.
Do the longest reigning?
I think.
What's Nikki Bella still at?
I think it's still Nick. That's still Nikki.
How long did Nikki hold it for?
I think a year.
Bailey's about to hold it for a year. I don't know if they held the same title even, but
yeah. So I don't know if you can cut because wasn't Nikki's the Divas Championship?
Yeah, it was the Divas. Yeah,
she beat AJ's record.
Yeah, yeah. So, but no, I think she's got to be getting close if she's not already there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because how long did Becky hold it? Well, Becky held the Raw one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
because like
she had the SmackDown, but the SmackDown was only like a month.
Yeah, yeah. When she became Becky Two Belts, it was like a month, 2 months.
Well, and her reign before that, when she wasn't even the man character yet, it was only like a month.
Yeah.
Before she lost it to Charlotte. No surprise there.
Yeah.
Oh, I am an idiot. All right. So next match, Street Profits versus Andrade and Angel Garza.
Yeah, the match that we've seen on Raw for the last 7 weeks that we get to see again at SummerSlam.
And
again, great in-ring work as you would expect, but again, nothing special. I mean, the match was good. It wasn't a snooze fest, but I mean, I think they're doing a little too much outside the ring pandering to the storylines and shit. But like the whole Angel Garza Playboy thing, but I mean, I get it. Don't get me wrong. I get it. That's his character. But I mean, to me, it wasn't a right home match. It was good. Their in ring work was good, but again, we've seen it for the last 6 weeks.
I don't know. Dave, go ahead. You look like you have something to say.
Alan, I appreciate you were being nice, but that match was definitely a snooze fest.
Why is that? That's a hot take.
That's a hot take. Let's hear that one.
Good God Almighty, those four have been in matches week after week after week after week, like you stated. How much more can you put into a match if you've done it week after week after week, especially when you're leading towards Andre... Well,
Andre?
Andre doing completely something different with Selena and having nothing to do with Angel.
They're in the same stable together.
Exactly.
Heck, the biggest part of the match for me was listening to KO's commentary.
That was honestly, truth be told, the biggest saving grace was that. I mean, because like the match was good, it was good wrestling, but if KO wasn't on commentary for that, good God, my view on it would have probably been a little bit different.
This was probably my least favorite thing on SummerSlam. What?
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, you're right. Sorry. I know what you're talking about. All right, it's my second least favorite.
There you go. There you go.
And it wasn't even that it was bad. I just was bored.
Yeah. I mean,
like we were discussing, like, the Street Profits, they're good in the ring, but they just don't do it for me, though.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because I'm not invested in the storyline. Like, what, Zelina drugging up and giving Montez Ford food poisoning. How that started.
Yeah.
And Montez, I feel like, didn't even sell it very well.
Which is a storyline ripped out of, like, hype PG era WWE.
Yeah. I don't know. And I didn't feel like Montez didn't, like, show any, like, anger or really. I don't know. I hate to say this. I was almost asleep during the match. That's that, because all four of them are great, you know, especially Andrade and Angel Garza. They're phenomenal in the ring, but I don't know. I'm going to move on for that match, unless you guys have any closing thoughts.
No, we can go right on along.
We can go right along to the real least favorite thing of the show.
Oh, dear God.
So, yeah. If anyone doesn't know, I think this has a big factor in this match. First, it's Sonya versus Mandy. No disqualification. It got changed from hair versus hair match to Loser Leaves Town. You know, And I think a lot of that, too, Sonya is taking some time off. And I'm sure if, unless you've lived under a rock, you know why.
Yeah.
You know, she had someone break into her house and tried to abduct her and all that. And then, by the way, is still getting threats from other people saying they're going to finish the job on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Sick fucks.
Pathetic. And no woman should ever have to go through that. I know we haven't done a show since that happened, so I just wanted to address that. And I think, unfortunately, her not being there kind of showed in this match.
Yeah, I mean,
awful.
I mean, this match was, and I don't like to use the terms "god fucking awful," and you know, in a wrestling match, but this match was god fucking awful.
And they showed no chemistry together.
I mean, they had no.
They're like best friends.
I mean, they had no chemistry together. They have no chemistry. They, I mean, there were like 36, 37 botches in that match, and then Mandy couldn't even set the table up right. I mean, it was bad.
It's like, I don't know, because of everything Sonya's been going, because I know she's had some court in the week leading to it, that they just didn't get time to discuss it. I don't.
Or practice, or go over
it. It was terrible.
I mean, it was fucking awful.
I mean, even before that, neither are exactly known as great wrestlers in the first place, but...
I mean, it was probably legitimately one of the worst matches in the last, like, year and a half.
To say, because I really don't like critiquing matches, because who are we?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't like describing it like that, but sometimes, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. And in this case, you got to do what you got to do. I mean, the match was awful.
Yeah, I mean, Dave, what are your thoughts?
Due to the circumstances that happened with Sonya, I'm not gonna be as brutally honest.
No, we're not taking away from what happened to Sonya. Yeah, I mean, it's probably what caused it. I mean, her head probably wasn't in it, which is rightfully so.
Yeah,
I mean,
we're not.
Who would after someone tried to abduct you in your own house?
No, I say it's like, but, I mean, obviously, clearly, the, you know, her head wasn't there. How could it be? But I mean, we're talking about strictly the match itself.
Yeah, we're not seeing. So go ahead,
Mandy. What type of ring gear was that you decided to wear?
You're complaining about her ring gear?
Well, okay, you're the first person to do that. I can tell you that right now. You are the first person that I have seen on any social media or talking or voicing an opinion that was the worst. I mean, yeah.
I'm getting to the rest of it, Alan. Calm down. Mandy, whoever taught you how to throw punches, you need to go back to training.
Go to the Hunter.
Punches.
Wait, but Dave, she completed training.
Oh, I'm sure Hunter critiqued her, and Matt Bloom critiqued her punches in the performance center, and she didn't quit because it was too hard on her.
Yeah.
Or when Austin taught her.
The match is awful. Get to the next match, please.
So, hopefully, if we're going to complain about something, what the hell was Manny's attempt at doing the worm in the ring?
Yeah, like, honestly...
And when Otis came out, wasn't even out there, and he was holding the briefcase, and I completely forgot he was even the holder of that.
Like, yeah. when he first started coming out there, I legitimately had to do a double take and look at what he was holding. Because...
And then worm, I don't...
I mean, it's... The worm is one of the simplest dance moves ever.
She was getting too much bounce.
Yeah, she was... Yeah, it was like...
She's trying to hump the mat, to be honest, but...
Well, apparently Dave don't like the ring gear, so Mandy don't wear that next time.
So wear some really baggy.
I say wear some
hoodie, and
I say go up to the store and get you like a 3XL sweatshirt and pair of pants, because that's obviously what
you
that's...
are now going overboard, Alan. Not 3XL, you idiot.
I guess this shows how bad the match is here. We're too busy talking about Mandy's ring gear instead of the match. I guess that kind of sums up how bad the match was.
The only reason we're even talking about that is because Dave was critiquing it.
You critique someone's outfit.
Well, not only that, but how can you critique Mandy Rose's outfit? Good God.
Yeah. Blonde plastic, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep.
Oh!
That's right,
that's
Dave.
That's like getting edited out.
This episode's going to get a bunch of dislikes now.
Okay. Cool. All right, we'll just blame it on you. You're the first one to discuss a dislike.
All right. Hell, it'll probably get dislikes just for that comment.
Yeah, Dave's comments alone are probably
going to Dave's comment about Mandy Rose's ring gear, that's probably worth a dislike right there.
Would you two like to do the whole show in peace?
No, because we're already like halfway through. Why would you leave now? Anyway.
I'm just saying.
Up next, we got Dominic Mysterio versus Seth Rollins in a street fight. I was pretty skeptical about this match because we haven't really seen anything from Dominic in the ring. Yeah. He did a couple moves against Brock Lesnar, which is an honor itself because I'm surprised Brock let him do anything to him, to be honest.
Brock, we miss you. Just saying.
Please come back.
Yes, Alan's a converted Brock Lesnar fan now, even though he spent the first half of our podcast existence completely shitting on Brock.
He has joined the family.
Saying he wanted to fight him.
I didn't go that far.
Yes, you did. In fact, you said on one show that if you got the first punch off, you could knock Brock out, possibly.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so anyway, long story short, my apologies, Brock. You're not a fan. So, anyway, continue.
So you're not a fan or got a fan?
No, you got a fan.
He's entered the wonderful Suplex City family.
So we got Dominic Mysterio versus Rey. This kind of was built on...
You mean versus Seth?
Dominic versus Rey. I can see that being a match, though, legitimately.
Yeah, I
can see Dominic turning on Rey. And, hey, I was leaning Dominic versus Rey in the fact that Dominic told Rey he didn't want him involved no matter what happened. Yeah. There you go. Because that was part of it. I mean, Dominic said, you know, come ringside, but don't touch Seth. Don't touch Murphy. Like, just let me do it on my own. For some reason, Ray's wife was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird.
Well, I guess it was her son's first match. I mean, Papa Eddie was looking down. I mean,
yeah.
I was very skeptical. You know, Seth's a great worker, so I thought it could be good. But I'm actually surprised on Dominic's ring work.
Yeah.
Now, Alan sent me a text. Shipes sent me a text about you see a lot of Sandman and
Raven
in him, yeah. Which I didn't see that at all. So can you please explain what you're seeing?
I'm talking
about give you those vibes.
What I was talking about was some of the movesets he was using with the weaponry, with the kendo sticks and the side Russian leg sweeps with the kendo sticks.
Yeah, I did notice that. And, where he did the side Russian leg sweep off the top rope.
Things of that nature. I'm not saying the whole match, like. There were parts of it that you got those major vibes of like Sandman and stuff in it, but I mean overall I was damn impressed with him. I thought he did a hell of a job. I know he had to be nervous off of his ass, and I think that I mean of course when you're in the ring with somebody the caliber of Seth Rollins, you know that helps, and as good as Seth Rollins is, that helps a lot too. And yeah. I honestly have to say that the whole storyline has been quite surprising to me. Like when they first started it, I was like, really? You kidding me? But it actually became a really good, heated, personal storyline. And it culminated in a really, I think, a pretty damn good match at SummerSlam. And I think they told their story well. And it evolved throughout the match, and of course, even when Ray's wife started to come out there, and when they brought the handcuffs out and everything, and I mean, I got to give it to Dominic, especially he has taken some kendo stick shots, and he has taken an ass whipping in this storyline.
Yeah, they're making that kid pay.
Yeah, that kid is paying his dues the hard way, and he's doing a damn good job, and I was damn impressed with the match. It turned out to actually be one of the better matches on the card, honestly.
Yeah, got a lot of Eddie Guerrero and Ray kind of vibes from him, his movesets, you know, the arm drags, yep. And you know, mm-hmm. Especially the elevate. That kid got some elevation on a frog.
Yeah, that frog slash was insane. And also,
you know,
we got to give a little quick tribute to Seth's Halloween Havoc ring-inspired ring gear that he wore for Ray. Like, no, Ray's identical Halloween Havoc 97 ring gear. That shit was badass.
Yeah.
One thing I liked about Seth is how good he was playing the heel. Like, literally dragging Dominic in front of Ray and just punishing him, knowing Ray couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
Trying to get Ray involved.
Yeah.
Seth was playing that to the T, you know, walking up to... God, what was Ray's wife? And
Angie.
This is your son.
Yeah.
This is your son I'm doing this to.
Yeah, I mean, it was a brilliant personal story that they told. And Seth and Dominic and Ray, actually everybody involved played their part perfectly. And, I mean, it was a good surprise.
And then, you know, the finishing stomp right in front of Ray, who was handcuffed, reaching out for him.
And Ray played that to the T.
And then afterwards, Retribution beat all of them up and apparently busted Ray open underneath the mask, which I don't know how they did that, but they did that.
Wasn't that on Raw?
Yes, sorry.
I can say, I didn't see that on SummerSlam.
Yes, it was on Raw. You're right. It was on Raw. I'm getting that mixed up. Cause same angles. Who knows about Retribution? But Seth won. Who knows where this feud's going to go next? I mean, I can't imagine it's over.
No.
I don't. I think it's going to ultimately lead to Dominic eventually beating Rollins.
Or turning on Ray and joining the Messiah.
Yeah, I mean, there's two really good ways that they can go with it. I think it would be a more shock value if he joined the Monday Night Messiah.
You know what, Ray? You were never my dad. Eddie was always my dad. I hate you. 15 years ago, Eddie became my father, and I always looked at him since that, even after his death. Stop being in my corner.
You know,
I'm
actually,
Monday Night Messiah.
You know, actually, legitimately, he could cut that promo. And
rest in peace, Eddie. Love you.
Like he could actually be like, he could be like, you remember that match when I was a kid, Dad? Yeah, you put my custody up. Like, how could you do that?
You obviously didn't want to be my father. So
I think that would be a better direction to go for it.
How do you carry it? Because Eddie's obviously no longer in the picture.
Yeah. Well, but still, obviously, you could carry it enough to have it have an impact.
A personal feud between those two.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, Eddie's no longer here, but the feud could still be made.
So do they change it then to Dominic Guerrero or still keep Dominic Mysterio?
Hypothetically, in that world, it would be Dominic Guerrero.
Yeah.
Even though I don't know how much they're saying to Guerrero's name right now, because Vince is all about her Vicky Guerrero right now.
But yeah, they got some interesting ways that they can...
Won't happen, of course.
No, they won't happen because it's too good of a booking, but, you know, they're...
I just say, though, with the debut matches have been pretty on fire. Dominic did well, and I know we didn't watch... You know, NXT TakeOver, but Pat McAfee apparently did phenomenal.
No, I did
too.
Watch that match. I did see that match.
How was that match?
Apparently Pat did amazing.
No, Pat was damn impressive for not having the background. And real quick, you know, he doesn't have that background, and he did really well. I mean, for God's sakes, the dude did a swanton off of the top rope onto, like, a group of people. And,
didn't he jump off the top turnbuckle and do like a freaking
moonsault landed directly on his feet? I mean, the athletic prowess that he already has was there, but I mean, he did a damn good job.
Also, it's just why Adam Cole is one of the best in the world, because he did a good job being the ringleader in that one.
Yeah, I say Adam Cole helped that tremendously.
Yeah.
Just a side note, that was pretty cool. All right, up next, we got the second of the Asuka title matches. We got Asuka versus the Boss, Sasha Banks.
Well, this was definitely the better of the two, but I think that's because, no offense, but I think Sasha's a little better of the wrestler. But yes, and I'm talking about between Sasha and Bayley. I'm not talking about Asuka.
Asuka's in a world of her own.
Yeah, that's a different category. But I thought the match was definitely better than the first one, and I like the story playing out again of the impending breakup of the, what do they call themselves, the golden role models, I think is that's what it is. I mean, I like that. But I mean, the match was great, and I like that they're playing to that storyline finally. But I think it's too soon. But hey.
Or too late, one of the two.
Or too late. I mean, I say too soon. Because unfortunately, the circumstances that we're in, and you can't have a big match feel, too big of a match feel, without, of course, the crowd there.
Oh, is how they drag it to one crowd. I don't know. It's gonna be interesting. Vince, I think, should have pulled the trigger a while back.
I think it should have been at
WrestleMania. Unfortunately,
yeah.
Even though there's no fans there, but match is good. I mean, that sickening power bomb that Sasha did to Asuka on the floor had me wondering if Asuka was alive or not.
Yeah, that was nasty.
You know, and it's just like, Sasha, you know, sells really well her emotions and, you know, the crying little, like, naggy bitch kind of character.
Yeah.
Like, getting frustrated, you know, she couldn't beat Asuka. Bayley got it done. You know, what I think, you know, what was going through Sasha's head probably in that match is, webs if I don't get it done.
Right.
And she didn't. And Bayley kind of showed that what she, you know, she'll take Sasha's help to retain her title, but she really don't care about putting herself into line of danger for Asuka. I mean, Sasha.
Yeah.
Nope.
And I think that's going to be an interesting turn for the story.
Now,
especially since it's probably starting to get, Sasha's probably going to start going insane, because that's like
the sixth time.
Has she ever defended her title successfully on a pay-per-view?
Not that I've
seen. Hell, I wouldn't know she's ever successfully defended it ever.
Yeah.
She has a chance. You know, Bayley's been terrible at ringside every time she's been at ringside in a Sasha match. And
now the question
Sasha
is,
puts her body on the line every time when Bayley's in a match. So it makes it kind of, you know, they're obviously, you know, they're going to lose. I guarantee they're probably going to lose the titles at Payback, the tag titles.
Yeah.
That's a guarantee.
Shayna Baszler and.
Say, so it looks like it's going to be Shayna Baszler, and, which is one of the most random tag team tandems, like, you could come up with.
I think Sasha and Bayley have definitely been some of the MVPs possibly of the pandemic era.
I agree.
They've been kind of a breath of fresh air, you know, with Randy.
On the women's side, it's definitely been Sasha and Bayley. And, of course, on the men's side, it's been Randy and Drew.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just worried that it's going to be something dumb magic, like Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I can see it definitely being Hell in the Cell.
Unless you put them in a Hell in a Cell match, and it's completely pointless.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big payoff pay-per-view, at least Survivor Series.
Right, right.
Should be at least a Survivor Series, and then carry that feud on to, you know, whatever they start finding kind of a little match. I don't know. I just think there's going to be, unfortunately, a bad payoff.
Yeah.
So, any other thoughts on that?
No, that was about it for me.
All right, up next, we got the main event, Drew versus the Legend Killer, Randy Orton.
The co-main event.
Oh, yeah, sorry. The co-main event, the Legend Killer versus Drew McIntyre. It's still weird hearing Randy call himself the Legend Killer again.
Yeah,
it is.
So he's like the biggest legend on the active roster currently.
Yeah, legitimately. So it's
John's on there anymore. Right. Undertaker's not really there, so.
Yeah, it's like neither one of them.
Like the biggest legend, yet here he is calling himself the Legend Killer.
That's what I mean. It's like, that's kind of like a contradiction, isn't it? I mean,
no, he even brought back his Burning My Light pyro.
I mean, it's like when Randy was the Legend Killer, he definitely wasn't a legend yet.
And now here he is, a 14-time champion.
A 14-time champion, 2-time Royal Rumble winner, headlined multiple WrestleManias, won the Intercontinental title, the tag team titles. He's done all of this, and yet now he's the Legend Killer. Now he's a bona fide he's a bona fide first ballot Hall of Famer, legend, absolute legend of the business, and he's the Legend Killer.
Maybe he wants to be the only legend.
That's what his thing is. Yeah, he's trying to kill off other legends so he can be the only legend.
I mean, and see, in that regard, it makes sense.
Yeah, because they really never explained why he went back to it at all.
No.
He started punting old guys in the head.
Which, unfortunately, he punted one of the best sellers ever, and it was not sold properly.
Sean.
Sorry, Sean. Like, one of the best in-ring performers of all time. I'm like, damn.
So I'm a little shocked on the outcome of this match. I honestly, God, thought with Randy's momentum, he was going to win it.
I did too.
And they had Drew win with a backslide.
I mean, here's the thing. It's like the match itself, fucking love the match.
Yeah.
Really damn good match because, of course, you got two of the best in the business. And, I mean, the match itself was amazing. But the fact that they had it, and you have a WWE Championship match and on a backslide roll-up.
Which makes me think it was a last-minute change of having Drew retain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of had that feel of like, all right, you've got this amount of time, but it's, you know, hell, call the finish. I mean, just call it. And then it's like a last-minute thing. Because that honestly, that's like one of the worst ways you can end a title match.
At SummerSlam.
And it wasn't even like a super great transition into it. It was just, I mean, it just kind of happened.
RKO, Randy, I think, went for the punt and ran. Was it the punt or the RKO? And then Drew just rammed into it. I thought it was a
It was an RKO because Randy couldn't hit any of his RKOs during that entire match.
Yeah, I just couldn't remember if it was a punt and like missed and
but it's like it. I mean, it wasn't some cool like sequence like you remember like to harken back to the old SummerSlams, like you remember Bulldog and Brett's finish. That was a roll up, but see that was a beautiful transition into a roll up. It wasn't just a kind of it didn't just like happen. Like this roll up kind of just happened. And which I think it didn't take away from how good the match was, but it was just a really, really, really poor, really piss poor way to end it.
See, I know Randy's momentum, they didn't want him to lose clean. Like,
right.
Well, not like get pinned like in the middle of the ring with Claymore. Honestly, I feel like obviously Vince isn't done with Drew's title reign yet. Like everyone on the internet speculated he was.
Well, hell, so. you know how wrestling Twitter is. You win a title next week, you're gonna lose it.
No, honestly, though, Frank's momentum, I thought he was going
to... This one match, I will say yes. I thought with the way they were building, Randy was getting built up, the way that his momentum carried into it, yeah, I thought he was going to lose.
Because I probably read or that win. He was supposed to win there and hold it to WrestleMania.
Yeah, I thought he was legitimately going to win.
I posed a quick question. Is this the only match of Randy's that he's not hit his RKO not one time?
I don't know.
I can't tell you how. I mean, I've watched pretty much. I watched a lot of Randy matches, but I can't tell you.
Today, how are we supposed to memorize that?
Go call up one of the stat guys at ESPN and have them run it back for you.
Like, watch I was just curious. All you critiqued to him about Mandy Rose's outfit.
Yeah, go. Don't tell him that though. They might not help you look up stats.
Is this gonna be the title of the episode tonight? Don't critique Mandy Rose's attire.
Nope. So yeah, it was kind of lackluster. Unfortunately, they're probably gonna run it back a week later because Randy punted Drew in the head 3 times.
Well, but he doesn't even have a match. Randy doesn't even have a match with Drew at Payback.
And he completely just missed. He connected but missed at the same time. Like that last one of those punts he sold terribly as Matt Jackson posted on Instagram. Jeez. So that back and forth between those two are still going, apparently.
But it's like, because like my thing, unless they somehow make it Randy working double, because Randy's got a match with Keith at Payback.
That's right. Well, maybe Drew's taking time off since they supposedly punted him.
Yeah,
maybe.
All right, up next, the main event, The Fiend versus Braun Strowman.
Oh God! Please tell me. Please tell me I'm not the only one that's tired of Braun Strowman.
I have a rant to do on this one.
I've been sick of him since 2014.
Yeah.
No, 2016. Kurt was running WrestleMania 34 time. Honestly, 18. I hate to say when. Yeah.
Yeah. So 2018.
Especially when I saw that bitching on Twitter. He does.
And that it's ego like. Yeah. That's like, dude. I mean, the match itself. The match itself was less than stellar. I think that's and that's not a diss at Bray because Bray's a great worker.
Braun's not.
And again, I thought the finish was kind of lame, and just three Sister Abigails. I mean, I'm glad the Fiend is Universal Champion. We'll see how long that lasts, but. I mean, the match itself was okay, but of course, we'll get to the ending in a minute.
And no Alexa Bliss.
Again,
thank God.
I share that sentiment, don't get me wrong, but it's kind of weird that she wasn't there when they've kind of started using her in the feud.
Oh, yeah, she got canceled at the last minute for Roman. That's what was reported. That's why she's bitch on Twitter, like she always does.
Well, I mean, hey, somebody... yeah, you're gonna give the spot up. You're not gonna sit and bitch on Twitter.
If the big dog and the top guy comes into the arena and says I'm back, you're gonna give it to Roman Reigns.
You're damn right. You ain't gonna go bitch. You ain't gonna take your ego and bitch on Twitter. But still, it's
locked in later. I'm sorry. That's probably why she quickly deleted it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, you done fucked up.
Like she always does.
It's sad because I really liked Alexa Bliss, but and you know she has a good gimmick. She's good on the mic. But her attitude, you know,
her attitude and her ego are on the. I mean, but then again, look at the company, Braun Strowman. I mean,
Thank God he's not champion anymore.
Yeah, thank God. At least there's two major positives in this match. Number one, thank God Braun Strowman isn't Universal Champion anymore. Number two, as Michael Cole would say, the big dog!
Yeah, so they finished up the actual match. Yeah, God Fiend's over. You know, he's champion. And, you know, this is, I guess, because they keep saying never saw it coming. Honestly, everything on that show...
Well, we didn't see Roman Reigns coming.
I say everything else on that show wasn't opening, yep. But then this happened.
Right.
Roman Reigns. Now, is he heel or is he face? Because he attacked two guys from behind.
Which I know Dave can't wait to talk about this, because back when we did an AEW show, Dave was talking about the babyface attacking heels from behind. So I know Dave was pining for this moment. But if you notice, Roman attacked, which would technically be the babyface, I guess, in Bray, because Braun's technically heel. So. He attacked Bray first and then Strowman. So
I don't know if that adds up to anything.
And then he had that kind of like that heelish look to him, if you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
And sporting a new badass shirt, which you can find on www.shop.com.
And then a new teeth job.
And a new looking damn good, looking like $1 million, probably about close to what he spent on that. So
it's probably fake, apparently.
But I mean, so that's like one of my big takeaways, is interested to see where that goes.
Dave, what were your thoughts on Roman? I know you're not a Roman Reigns fan, so I'm curious to hear this.
No, you're right. I'm not much of a Roman Reigns fan, but I'm glad to see him back. The company kind of felt dry without him being there, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm surprised that he's back now, because I didn't think he was coming back until...
crowds
until things came back. I didn't think he was coming back, but I mean, then again, they need him, because like Dave made a really good point. I mean, it really has felt dry without his, like, you know, his presence on Raw, SmackDown, or wherever.
You know, he has star power. Say he's that star power that I need. I mean, yeah, is he John Rock Austin star power? No, he never will be. But he's still. For a lot, you know, all these years has been built up as the biggest star in the roster, the company's guy. So when you take that away, you know, who's the draw? You know, Lesnar's stuck in Canada.
Lucky him.
I know.
Roman was gone. You know, Drew unfortunately got thrown a title in the middle of a pandemic, so they haven't really had that, like, big star. I mean, Randy, that was it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of good to see, you know, the big dog back, and Michael Cole seemed happier than ever to say it.
Oh, he... oh,
it's the big dog!
Yeah, because, like, legitimately, when Roman speared Bray, like, I mean, I thought Cole was, like, if the camera had panned to Cole, I guarantee you he was jumping up and down.
Now, I guarantee at Payback in the Thunderdome, if they weren't, you know, when he wins the title, because I think everyone knows that's going to happen... You know, and the fans would probably go back to booing him. They can't, because they're getting told what to do right now. So, I mean, you can't imagine if that was in the live audience. But hopefully, for Roman's sake, like I said, I can't tell what he is. It's if he's a heel, a babyface, or he's just playing an anti-hero role, wrecking everyone, like his shirt says.
Well, and honestly, I would not be... I would actually like to see them continue that. I think it'd be an interesting dynamic for Roman to do. To play that anti-hero in between, and because I think it would be a great opportunity for Roman to showcase a different range than he had been,
which he needs to do,
which he definitely needs to do. And I think it would be even better if the promos that he does while he's if they go the route of him continuing to be the anti-hero. Kind of in between, if they let him do his own promos, I think that would massively help.
Happen.
I know, it won't happen.
You know
happen,
that's not
going
to happen, Alan. Vince is going to write all of his
promos.
That's the point.
That's the point. If. We're talking if. But, I mean, but all in all, I would like to see them continue that and go in that direction, given Roman a different range and mystique that he hasn't had before that he needs.
I just hope, for his sake, that they have him pin Strowman.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the please. Fiend still looks strong.
Right, right.
Let's be honest. You said I can't. Man, I don't know how many people are still Braun Strowman fans.
I mean,
I don't see people craving and marking it out when they see Braun Strowman on their TV on Twitter. So.
I mean, I know there's a lot of them around here, but that's because he's from around here. So
I'm interested. Like I said, the whole takeaway from the show for me was really to see what Roman does next.
Yeah,
like, that's what I care about.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, it's like, yep. I mean, the biggest things for me, the biggest takeaways, you know, to see where Roman go, see where they go with Roman, and to continue seeing where they go with Randy. That's it.
Yep.
And when the Fiend.
I mean,
it'll, this whole Roman Fiend goes.
Yeah. I mean, because I mean that kind of ties in the Roman though. It's like to see where Roman goes because he's involved in that too.
As long as it gets Braun Strowman off the television.
I'd say as long as it gets Braun Strowman away, like.
No, cool. He's bald and has a big beard now. Yeah. So.
Okay. So he looks even stupider than he did before.
And he can't throw a working punch either.
No, he cannot.
That was like one of the worst clips ever.
The only thing that helped him out is, yeah, it was about as bad as the AEW one, but for some reason AEW doesn't know how to produce and didn't take the camera off of him. Kevin Dunn at least was smart enough to change the angle.
Yeah.
But if you watch up close, he was missing the Fiend almost as bad. Like, awfully.
Yeah.
He wasn't even close.
I mean,
like, he couldn't even sell Sister Abigail all that good.
It's like at least with that they had the wherewithal to quickly switch and make it try to look better. Exactly. I mean, because good God, that was bad.
Braun Strowman's bad. God, we sound like RJ ripping on Goldberg. So,
oh Lord, don't get that one started.
All right, guys, final takeaways. We already said that. Grades, you guys already said. I give it about a C2. I mean, definitely wasn't god awful because, like I said, the women championship matches were good. You know. Randy vs. Drew was good, except for the ending and Roman. So I'd give it a C.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like a guy that wants to pop a rating and views by giving it an F and just saying everything sucked. I'm not going to be one of those guys.
No, so. It's like, I mean, it's all...
Not everything did suck.
No, I mean, it's all honest reviews. So, I mean, I think it's about a... It was about a C- pay-per-view. Not great, not good, but not god-awful, unwatchable. So it's about average, so about a C-.
And we'll see. All right, guys, that's a wrap on SummerSlam. We will not be doing Payback, by the way, because I have no interest in that. I really don't feel like doing one pay-per-view after another, especially if All Out the week after. It's going to be a repeat of SummerSlam. Literally, the whole card is going to be the same as SummerSlam.
Except for Randy and Keith and then Shayna and Nia.
So it's not going to be good. So I don't want to cover that. Because we're going to be covering
somebody else.
Because we're really going to be covering All Out like a week after.
Yeah, so our next one will be All Out.
But hopefully you guys enjoyed this listen. We tried to give it honest. We haven't done a... Good God, when's the last time we did a pay-per-view? Elimination Chamber.
Elimination Chamber, yeah.
Last fan event was the last time we did a pay-per-view thing. So we decided to bring you one to you guys today. So hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Pop a listen. Help us get back in the charts. And thank you for everyone that's listening to the show. And have a good night, guys. Stay going, my friends.
Deuces.
Bye, guys.